Hey, everybody. It's Mike Rosso for the Alternative Cinema Podcast. It is July 2009, and I'm here with co-host John Fedeli.
Hey, now.
And in our studio tonight, we have two special guests that are going to be here for the duration of the cast. Ruby LaRocca.
Hey, what's up?
And she is no stranger to anyone who has,
a penis.
Hey, or a vagina.
Come on, a vagina, yes.
Plenty of fans.
Yes. Not a stranger to anyone who's seen an alternative cinema or seduction cinema film.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But we'll talk.
And I got to say,
later.
One of my faves from the cavalcade of characters.
Yes.
From over the years.
Why, thank you.
You're definitely in the top 20.
Top 20.
And there's only 15. No, you're in the top 3.
I'm winking right now.
It sounds like this.
And to my right, but Ruby's left, is Victor Bonacore.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Victor. Victor's a filmmaker, and his company Chainsaw Kiss is a production company. Victor and Ruby and gang are shooting feverishly, I hear.
This is true.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the
great.
Time.
And good, we're going to talk to both of them in a bit. But now, of course, it's time for the Doug Walsh mailbag.
Mail's in.
What does Doug have to say this
Well,
month?
It's now called the Doug Walsh mailbag because he's the only person that sends us mail.
So sad.
So it's now his department.
Well, you know what? At least there's one guy out there. Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. We did get a letter from him. He sent it a few weeks ago. I've lost it since then.
Aww.
But I do want to say thank you, Doug. I do think that if you would like to keep sending us mail to keep this department open on the show.
Did he email it or mail it?
He emailed it. Does that count?
Well, you can't, reprint it?
No, not right now.
Right now, but you do know that you can print things out more than
I
once
understand.
If you lose them.
But if someone out there would like to send us some mail...
I could be doing so many other things with this hour of my time if there's nobody listening.
If someone wants to send a letter to our podcast, you send it to customerservice@alternativecinema.com.
And the janitor will
That's right.
take care of it.
Now, I think maybe...
After he cleans the shitter.
Maybe Justin just sees the letter and just grimaces and just doesn't forward it to me.
Mm.
We probably have hundreds of letters.
Yeah, hundreds.
In his spam folder. Old news. You know, John, we had a Necroville DVD giveaway.
Is that right?
On the website, we did.
Really?
We gave away...
How'd that go, by the way?
I understand it went really well. It was a contest to give away DVDs.
Uh-huh.
And
wait a minute, you're giving them away?
Yeah, it's a contest, a giveaway, a DVD giveaway.
All right.
And we were supposed to give away 5, but according to this piece of paper, the response was so incredible that we gave away 22.
Whoa. That's a lot more than 5.
And you want to, Uncle Floyd style, read the names of the winners?
Sure. All 22 of them?
Yeah.
From the movie.
Oh, okay. Wow. See, Victor knew. Victor is going to be co-hosting next week, I think. Take my job. All right. So we have Brian Kornfeld, Charles Stiles, Anthony Pleiades, Joey Souza, Bruce Moore, Shan Owens, Jeremy Mills, Eugene Porochnik. Sorry, Eugene. Eugene Porochnik. Deborah Gozdek. Are these real names?
This is real. This is real. This is not put
All
on.
All right. Sorry, Deborah. Brian Christensen. Johnny A. DeAnda. That's got to be fake. Johnny A. DeAnda. Anita Underwood. Bill Hoop. Anita Blowjob. Charles Calabrese. Mike Hunt. Mike
Hey,
Massey.
I know Mike Hunt.
Really?
Very
I
well.
Wish I knew Mike Hunt. Well, wait a minute. Never mind. Benjamin Eric Kappelman, Dudley Henderson, Ray Quintana, David Sitbon, How'd You Like a Kick, Joel W. Timmons, James Brooks, and Sandy Yelnick. Congratulations. You are winners.
Ooh.
You may be losers in other parts of your life, but today you are a winner.
That's right. Right along.
Wait, what happened to the mail? I thought you were going to read mail.
He lost
mail?
The letter.
Oh.
We only got one.
The one letter that we have, I lost. Oh. I mean, I lose it. It's somewhere in my office.
My very loyal
listener.
But
Doug,
listener.
I mean, Doug was just very, Douglas Walsh, his mailbag department. He was very complimentary. Hey, I listened to the podcast. I thought it was great. Yada, yada. I heard my name on your podcast.
Well, now he's going to be ecstatic now.
He's got his own department.
He's got his own department.
Break his heart.
No, Doug, it's up to you.
Lost his letter.
Can you, while I'm talking about it, can you get some people, like, write us a letter? I mean, preferably someone that listens.
Or write other letters under different names.
So you know what, John?
What, Mike?
This is an article that's on the main site, alternativecinema.com, if you would go there and check it out. But I'll just go through. I highlighted.
Sure.
It's called Busty Breastwick producer Jim Wynorski talks Roger Corman and his new film, Vampire in Vegas. Okay.
Brand new movie?
Uh-huh. Wow. He did 85's Lost Empire and 86's Chopping Mall.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Classic.
Did he do porno, too?
No, that's the other guy. Actually, Linnea isn't. He did a couple of Linnea Quigley films, I believe.
He did a few films with Linnea.
With Linnea in them, yeah. The whole David Dakota, Jim Wynorski era.
Yes.
You know.
The late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah, like VHS era.
It says here that veteran started as a intern for Roger Corman. He has he produced Witches of Breastwick and Witches of Breastwick 2.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. You saw that one.
Yep.
That one's out on DVD now by Secret Key Motion Pictures, distributed by AC. AC produces this podcast, so go buy it so we can stay on the internet. Then it goes on to say,
yes,
riding the crest of a career that spanned 30 years, Wynorski shows no signs of slowing down, as evidenced by his latest project, Vampire in Vegas, a horror film starring Tony Todd of Candyman fame.
Hmm.
So,
did they shoot? They shot it in Vegas?
I don't know. Okay, listen, I'm going to put my sleuth hat on from last month.
Yeah.
We play sleuth every now and then. We get these tidbits of information from fans, or you go to a chat room or website, and there's all these
gossip items.
So we heard rumors that Misty Monday, a.k.a. Erin Brown, was in a new Cinemax series.
We talked about this, right?
We did talk about this. We had some. So we put our sleuth hat on to figure out if it's true.
Mm.
Because we haven't seen her since the Fangoria show last year.
And the last time we were like, maybe it is, maybe it is.
Exactly.
Do tell.
So.
Give me the G.
Okay.
One.
Thank you.
Sorry.
So last year, a producer sends an email to this studio.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, we're shooting a series, and you know how to find Misty Monday.
Two.
So Jeff or Paige emails the producer back and says, well, hey, here's her email address. Here is her email address.
Three.
Well, I heard rumors from other people that Misty Monday made it over the Canadian border incident-free.
Well, sure it was her.
I don't know.
See, that may be false.
I didn't know, and then I was on a site called sreviews.com. Mm-hmm. S, I think, stands for softcore or something. The heading is Cinemax New Series Lingerie. And there was a clip. There was a link to a YouTube video that is the opening, the one-minute opening of a new series.
Oh, really?
That's going to be on Cinemax on July 3rd.
Wow.
And in this clip, fifth billed
out
of 10 is Erin Brown.
That's pretty good.
She's not in the opening.
Oh, just
she's
her name.
Fifth billed. So as a semi-professional sleuth, this told me that it's four or five.
Five.
That's not like a walk-on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a Julian Wells.
She's a cast member.
Walk-on, or as you would say.
Hump-on.
That's actually a part.
Bang-on.
Yeah.
I would like to add that I may or may not have seen her audition tape for that show.
Oh, okay. Oh, so that would fit in between all these numbers.
Juicy.
So that's adding some more.
I cannot.
That's good, Jake.
Confirm or deny
that.
Well, that I saw that audition tape.
Juicy.
She also
we know she auditioned.
She may or may not have been completely nude in her audition tape.
Juicy.
Oh, yes.
I may or may not know the director.
Oh, okay. Very good.
May or may not have the tape.
That's what's it called, right?
Blister her
dog. Wink, wink.
So there's this clip on YouTube, and here is a posting by a guy named Fuggy, F-U-G-G-Y. That's what he said. Maybe you can read it in his voice.
All right, Fuggy says, now wait just a cotton picking minute here. Is that trailer? Did anyone else see the name Erin Brown come up? That Erin Brown, the one whose IMDb page tells me that she's gone back to her Misty Monday moniker for the first time in 5 years for a new movie. Oh, by the way, the show looks fantastic. P.S. I'm not wearing underwear. I'm eating it.
So, I have no idea what's going on. It's like, all I know is that the show's going on July 3rd, and that I'm going to try to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I may or may not check that out.
So, which kind of leads into our next news piece, which is an email that actually came to me, not to Justin.
Really?
Not to customer
somebody
service.
Somebody broke down the wall?
Well, I know this person.
Oh, okay.
This is Rain Brown. Rain Brown's not related to Aaron Brown.
Okay.
I don't think. No? It could be. I don't know. So she sends an email and says, "Hey guys, I am excited to announce the world premiere screening of the film Sculpture that I starred in last year. I know some of you are out of town and unavailable, but she just wanted to let us know." And I'm just letting our listeners know that film Sculpture, directed by, look, it's our friend Pete Jacqueline.
Ah, Dr. Pete,
director of Psycho Sisters.
And many others,
starring Rain Brown, Misty Monday, Dustin Kearns. And it's going to be at the Anthology Film Archives on July 22nd at 8:15. It's, where can people go?
It's also playing.
Yeah, right down the road from us.
What, do you know the date?
Where is it playing?
August 5th at Bloomfield Mac Center.
The Mac Center.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Art Center.
Great.
Bloomfield,
it's
in Bloomfield.
It's literally a minute away from us. We go like every Wednesday.
Will you guys be there for this?
Yeah.
The one in Bloomfield.
Yeah. And when is that date?
August 5th.
Oh, I'm going to have this guy on more often.
No, these guys know more shit than we do.
Yeah.
These guys are plugged in. What's happening?
All right.
A bunch of two old folks. I got to read everything tonight?
Yeah, read half the synopsis.
Sculpture is a psychological horror. Sculpture is a psychological horror that tells the story of Ashley Steele, Rain Brown, a struggling artist who returns home after the death of her parents, Marv Blauvelt, and Suzanne Adriansen, only to find her possessive, rich older brother, Adam, Dustin Kearns,
reading it
and the haunting memories. Oh, my God, it's going on forever. Sorry.
No, you're reading it terrible. You're not
really?
Yeah, you're not reading it with passion.
All right, you read it. You read it.
Ruby's going to read it.
You read it with passion. I want to hear you put passion in Blauvelt.
Wow, I don't have my glasses on yet. Sculpture is a psychological horror that tells the story of Ashley Steele, Rain Brown, a struggling artist who returns home after the death of her parents. I suck too, it's okay. Wait. Only to find her possessive rich older brother, Adam, Dustin Kearns, and the haunting memories of her repressed past await her. Her childhood friend Emily, Misty Monday, tries to free her from the grasp of her egotistical brother. Meanwhile, she is commissioned by a well-known art dealer, Alan Rokelli, who we all know and love. Yay, Alan! To create a life-size sculpture of the perfect man and uses bodybuilders from her brother's gym as models. Before long, she finds herself spiraling down a path of unspeakable psychological terror and murder.
Check that out.
We're going to all be there, so, you know, you can meet, I don't know, the podcast guys.
Yay!
Listen, I want to tell you about Slime City Massacre.
Tell me about it.
We're going to get Victor to read this one.
Oh, okay.
Could you read the first paragraph, please?
Is this the sequel?
Yes, it is.
All right. Slime City Massacre is now in pre-production for July 2008, filming in Buffalo, New York. The Down and Dirty sequel focuses on four squatters fighting to survive in post-Holocaust New York City who discover Zachary Devon's elixir and Himalayan yogurt in the ruins of his soup kitchen. All four characters are possessed by Zachary and members of his suicide cult. The film will be a celebration of 1970s cinema nihilism and 1980s latex splatter flicks, featuring an all-out war between slime heads, homeless people, cannibals, mercenaries. Lamberson promises this film will be wilder and crazier than the original.
You really picked it up towards the end there.
I know.
Really, you did. No, it got really good at the end.
We suck. We shouldn't be reading these.
Okay,
things.
This is Slime City. Yeah, we're not.
There wasn't enough exclamation points.
Yeah, I would.
I could have. It
didn't.
Excited.
You didn't know when to punch it. And we're reading these cold, so let's.
We are reading these cold, even though I sent all the stuff to John ahead of time. He doesn't see it. This is Slime City. We've been talking about it every podcast. Just like Jim Wynorski, they just seem to sneak their way in.
This was made, like, what, 15 years ago, the original?
Slime City, 1988.
88. Yeah. 20 years ago.
You guys have seen Slime City?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
So they're finally getting around to making a sequel now. Probably because they heard you talking about it.
Yes,
like,
probably.
You know what? We got to make that sequel.
Yeah, probably.
Everybody's talking. Well, Mike's talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about the Slime City Grindhouse Collection in a minute, but first... No, we're going to go right into our releases.
Okay, great. I don't have to read anything.
No, you don't, but you can play the Women in Prison.
Whip. Play it right now?
Yeah, please.
It goes like this.
Gratuitous shower scenes. Lingerie-ripping catfights. And scantily clad, sweaty women making out in the jungle. It's the Women in Prison triple feature from Shockorama Cinema. Three of the most depraved and shocking women in prison films you've never seen. Desperate female prisoners are trapped in a remote jungle camp, but the horrors of lockup are nothing compared to what awaits them outside of the prison. In Escape from Hell. Four beautiful Americans are swept up in a brutal tropical revolution. And using their bodies may be the only way of escape in the Hot Box. Drug smuggling, car chases, catfights, and inappropriate relations. The incarceration essentials.
Oh, back in the sack, you rotten lesbo. I mean, do you have to be so noisy about it?
Women in Cell Block 7. The guns are hot and their bodies are hard. It's the Women in Prison triple feature, available on DVD.
So that triple feature came out on June 30th, mm-hmm. and
successful.
Everyone seems to be very excited about it.
Yeah, the Hot Box sounds
like
a
very
winner.
Very excited about it. I mean, it's not, I'm not.
Isn't that the Jonathan Demme movie?
Yeah. Is that the one?
Pop-up? I think so, yeah. What's his name? That guy that was here a couple of times.
Ed Grass.
Ed.
He's not here one podcast, and we just forget his name.
Miss him.
I sent him an email.
Oh, did he write back?
Like, Ed, I'm sorry we just flat left him. He's been co-hosting the last few
podcasts. Well, we're mixing it up.
We thought we'd mix it up a little bit.
Well, when you have material appropriate to his knowledge base, we'll have him in.
Absolutely.
I mean, and he's got a pretty wide knowledge base. And purdy lips.
Before we get to the July releases, I thought we'd break it up by playing Justin Wingenfeld's Righteous Rant.
What's he going on about this month, Mike?
Sex.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Let's listen.
There are some things that will always amaze me. How can an MP3 player the size of a credit card fit 4,000 songs on it? Why is the drunk driver always the one who manages to survive an accident with minor injuries? And how the hell can anyone find the sight of bare breasts to be disturbing? They're breasts. They're two mounds of flesh with round dots at the ends. Does that sound scary? Ah, but they're pleasing to the eye in a sexually arousing way, and that's just too offensive for words in our puritanical society that equates sex and nudity with sin and vice. So many parents fuck up their kids' heads by reacting to them seeing nudity as if they caught them playing Russian roulette. They plant the seed in their kids' heads that those totally normal, healthy, and uncontrollable urges that kick into high gear on your 13th birthday are all horribly wrong. We've become so conditioned in this country to keeping ourselves covered up that being naked seems unnatural. And we're so superficial that the only nudity we will put up with is that provided by the most perfect of female specimens. Perfect according to Maxim magazine, that is. I like seeing women naked, but I don't judge a woman's character based upon how hot she is. Most men see every woman they meet as little more than a potential fuck. And most women see men as a walking hard-on, just looking for an orifice to penetrate and asking questions later. Tits and ass drive straight men crazy. And this physiological power women have over men has led to oppression, persecution, and intimidation until men eventually had the upper hand, if only through brute force. For a long time, women existed only to be married off and become baby machines and housekeepers. But they finally got fed up and fought back. And now we live in a society where things are almost equal. We still have polygamy and the occasional honor killing. I don't get it. I don't understand the fear of bare flesh. I don't feel the need to be a macho douchebag. I'm just sick of being told what I should and shouldn't find offensive. Billboards, commercials, Super Bowl halftime shows with wardrobe malfunctions. With so much hatred and destruction in the world, I think I can handle a pair of tits. And I'll decide what is and isn't appropriate for me and my family. I don't need the thought police to do it for me.
Wow.
Wow.
That's cool.
What's an honor kill?
I don't know.
The only thing I disagree with is the he said something about turning 13, and that's when
your
it
hormones
starts.
Kick
yeah,
in?
Your hormones start when 13.
When does it start?
For girls, it's earlier.
You're like six.
Ooh. Yeah. Really? Six. Oh, my God, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's not right.
First grade.
Really? I remember seeing a girl, Joan C., we'll call her, filing something for our teacher in fifth grade, and everybody was talking about her because she was rubbing her vagina up against the corner of the filing cabinet. Yeah, my friend Brian Kohler was like, check out Joan C. I'm like, what? I don't, you know, we don't know what's going on. He's like, he's rubbing her clit up against the filing cabinet. I was like, oh,
child
my God.
Child didn't say clit.
Huh?
Child didn't say clit.
Yeah. Brian Kohler, no, Brian Kohler knew clit. He knew the word clit. He was the one who told me about masturbating, too. He knew it all.
How old were you? First grade?
Fifth grade?
Fifth grade.
First grade.
Well, Ruby said
I could
six.
Barely say yeah, my yeah. ABCs.
Yeah, like depends.
Six
you know?
Is first grade.
Some girls
is first
start
grade
early?
I bet they
first
do.
First grade.
Well, now, is it true that most women see guys as raging hard-ons walking around?
No.
I don't think no. that. If that were true, man, there'd be a lot more fucking going on.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Yeah. I know a lot of horny girls. Like.
Really? You have names? We'll talk later.
We'll talk later.
We'll talk later.
Well, thank you, Justin.
Yes.
It was very...
always entertaining.
Yeah, indeed. So...
what else, Mike?
Want to hear about our... You want to hear about our July releases?
Sure.
Starts off on the 14th with... Joe Sarno's Deep Throat Sex Comedy Collection.
Oh, no kidding. Joe Sarno.
Yeah, come on, let's hear
Go
it.
Go figure. Oh. what's it called? Deep Throat 2? Didn't we do this last month? This is like I'm having a flashback.
Davey.
Linda Lovelace is back. In Joe Sarno's Deep Throat Sex Comedy Collection, featuring Deep Throat 2, The Switch, and A Touch of Genie. Three hot and hilarious softcore sex comedies, available for the first time on DVD. Loaded with zany madcap laughs, and sexy scenarios that are guaranteed to tickle more than your funny bone. Plus all new interviews with exploitation director Joe Sarno.
Doctor, I've never seen you so horny.
Not unusual. I mean, I've been deprived a long time.
Joe Sarno's Deep Throat Sex Comedy Collection. So much in one package, it's hard to swallow.
Now, let me ask you guys, our guests, what do you guys know about Deep Throat?
Anything? I saw the isn't original.
Isn't it the highest grossing porno?
Yeah, supposedly, yeah. So you guys saw the original?
Yeah.
I've seen the original.
Yeah.
Wow. Did they win a copy of the DVD for getting that right?
Yeah.
Numbered. Great. Yeah, all right.
I was actually
Linda Lovely.
Did you guys know there was a sequel?
I did not.
No one knows.
It's the lowest grossing porn. Right.
Which is why I'm distributing it.
Why else?
The success of Deep Throat caused such it was so revolutionary, it was so big, it was just so nuts that the producers rushed in and produced a softcore R-rated sequel, because since Deep Throat was so mainstream and major celebrities were seeing it and it was like the shit. Did you see the Inside Deep Throat documentary?
That was great.
Great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They thought, hey, let's make a mainstream movie and everyone will go see it.
Good idea.
So they hired Joe.
Joe who?
Joe Sarno.
Oh.
And he took the cast, and he went out and shot this big budget sequel in 1974.
And what do you think of the movie?
It's like it's a mad world, softcore.
Really?
Yeah, it's nuts. The film's nuts.
Jonathan Winters is in it?
No. No. But Linda Lovelace is in it, but there's, I don't know if I should say.
But
it's no Deep Throat.
Right. Well, no, we discussed this.
Yeah, we did discuss this, but you know,
there's no sex in it.
No, but no matter how you slice it, that's what people want to see. That's what people went to the theater to see.
Yeah.
So, but there's two other features on the disc and a shitload of extras. So
always a shitload of extras.
So yeah, it's not worth the time. And next month I'll have some reviews in.
Okay.
Pretty exciting, huh?
Yeah, great. Like who? New York Times.
No, just
a couple of guys, you know.
eclecticcinema.com. AVmaniacs.com.
Well, maybe New York Times would like to know about this.
I think New York Times did an original review of it. I can get that.
Oh, good.
It wasn't very good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe you don't want to send it.
You know, coming out on the same day on the known as the After Hours label.
Mm-hmm.
You know about that label?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. This filthy stuff from the 70s?
Oh, yeah.
Can you play a promo for something called Pro Ball Cheerleaders?
Ball. Hold on.
All right, sports fans. It's time to score alongside some of porn's greatest MVPs with After Hours Cinema's Pro Ball Cheerleaders. Grindhouse triple feature. We're talking porno Hall of Famers here. Rick Lutz, Johnny Keys, two guys that really know how to take one for the team. Plus cheerleading chicks Lisa DeLayu and Candida Royale. Two babes who really know how to break through a tenacious defense and handle a ball. I mean balls. I'm talking some dude's succulent, tender nuts. Good job, girls. Plus two other films that have nothing to do with sports. But there's plenty of hot, steamy action, interracial fucking, and explosive cum shots. So grab the chips, the dip, and your hard cock. But this ain't Super Bowl Sunday, it's Super Bowl Cum Day. Yep, you heard me. Someone actually wrote that. Pro Ball Cheerleaders! Grindhouse triple feature, and it's available on DVD right now.
On July 28th is the Slime City Grindhouse collection.
Slime City?
Yes.
The original?
Yeah.
This fucking movie won't go away. Every podcast.
Let me tell you about
it. You know what?
This.
I've never seen it. I'm sorry.
Why
I should
play the promo.
All right. I'll say I heard the promo at least.
The splatter classic and midnight movie cult phenomenon Slime City is back in a brand new 3-feature film collection. From cult filmmaker Gregory Lamberson, Shockorama Cinema presents the Slime City Grindhouse Collection. Slime City, a gory low-budget fun fest, film threat. Splatter Classic, The Gourmet from Rue Morgue Magazine. Undying Love, a fang-in-cheek love story, New York Daily News. Ultra Cool, Variety. Naked Fear, filled with creeping suspense and horror, films in review. The Slime City Grindhouse Collection also includes the outrageous rock and roll zombie mini-movie, Johnny Gruesome, starring Misty Monday. Director's commentaries, cast interviews, Slime City documentary, and a collectible Slime City Grindhouse poster. The Slime City Grindhouse Collection. Available on DVD now.
So this is the Shocker... this is a Shockorama release.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah, how big is this poster?
It's
Is it a big poster or is it
no,
like a
small
little
poster. Fits in the...
it's not even a poster.
It's in the case.
It's a ripoff.
You get the Slime City.
It should come with some slime.
You get the Undying Love, which has never been released on DVD,
mm-hmm.
remastered from the film.
Oh.
Yeah. Used to be called New York Vampire.
Oh.
Now it's called Undying Love, the original title. Huh. It comes with Naked Fear, which is a movie about who wants to like won't leave his house. What's that called?
Claustrophobia.
Yes.
Oh.
What do I win?
These guys are smart.
Agoraphobic.
Agoraphobic. Can't even say it.
And you get the Johnny Gruesome. That's a short, music video.
Did he shoot that, the director?
Yeah.
Okay.
And?
More?
Yeah, I think there's more. You get commentaries and interviews with everybody and Fantastic. Get the poster.
Fantastic.
You get the booklet with...
Who wrote the liner notes for the booklet?
This guy, Roy Frumkes.
Who?
Roy Frumkes.
I don't know that guy.
He did Document of the Dead. You know about this guy?
Oh, did he?
Isn't he in the film too?
No, he's not in the film.
No.
Oh, in Document of the Dead?
No, in the isn't he in Slime the upcoming?
City. In Slime City Massacre.
In the massacre.
Maybe.
I think he's in.
You know more than I do.
Could be.
That's a great name, Roy Frumkes.
Yes.
It's a great.
Got to be fake.
If I had the phone hooked up, we could call up Greg Lamberson and wake him up.
Oh well.
Yeah. Well. So Slime City, July 28th, it's jam-packed. This leads right into Shockfest.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's why we're here.
And into our guests. We're just going to roll right into these guys.
Bam.
But very quickly, let me tell you what Shockfest is. We'll talk about Shockfest, but let me tell you what Shockfest is. Shockfest is based on a book by Stephen Romano. Okay. Romano, Shockfest.
Okay.
Stephen Romano, Shockfest, he wrote a book.
I heard.
Okay. Stephen Romano, the Shockfest.
Jesus
book.
Christ. Okay.
Coffee table.
It's a coffee table book. It's big. And
is this a big book? Is this a well-known book? You guys
it's a
know
big book.
Book,
yeah.
Obviously, because you're part of Shockfest, so.
We are.
Yeah.
Did you
guys know about the book before you were part of Shockfest?
I read about it in Fangoria, actually.
Cool.
Cool little article. He was interviewed, Stephen Romano.
It's a book about... The book.
It's pretty unconscionable, Mike.
The book.
Call yourself a friend.
The book.
Yeah.
Is a tribute to grindhouse films of the 70s, and has faux posters of movies that don't exist,
right.
But could have existed, films that are non-existent, but in the style of the 1970s. Am I getting this?
In the book, yeah, by totally. Stephen Romano.
In the body of the book by Stephen Romano, with these poster arts, because he's an artist.
Oh wow. He did all these
posters. Yeah, with his fucking
great.
Poster arts like that fucking rule.
Yeah, they're great.
Cool.
So.
No, they fucking rule.
Mm. Yeah.
Fucking cool.
So, there's this book, and Stephen and Paige Davis got talking about, well, hey, what if we did a DVD? Mm. And in this DVD, we would take the films, the non-existent films.
Right.
And shoot actual trailers in the style of the 1970s.
It's a great idea.
Now, this is, correct me here, did the Quentin do it first? Quentin Tarantino did this?
Actually, the first person to ever do the fake trailers was Lloyd Kaufman.
Where?
In a film called When Nature Calls, and he had all these crazy fake trailers. It's on DVD, Chomo puts it out, but he actually did it first. Then Tarantino did. Obviously, Tarantino's is more popular.
Tarantino does nothing first.
No, we all know.
I mean, he's a great filmmaker.
Yeah, he's entertaining, but nothing is.
Well, you don't think he's a great filmmaker?
No, I think you tend to be just like you always look for the pocket where to bash somebody. Like you're gonna bash.
That's
the
not
Quentin.
Bashing at all. He said he's a great director. Yeah, great
director,
but he's original.
Yeah.
And that is
nothing he does
first.
Is original, but
okay,
he isn't a great
he does
director.
It, he does it uniquely.
All right.
I can't wait to see Inglourious Basterds. Do you know about that?
I know all about it.
Good. You can't wait to see it? Come on. Didn't you like Kelly's Heroes and all those?
Sure.
World War II movies?
Yeah. Not really.
See? He didn't do it first, but he's going to do it well.
I like Food of the Gods.
That's a good one, though.
Ida Lupino.
That was
Ida Lupino's in that?
Yeah.
And she directed?
Marjo Gortner.
Yeah. What was he in where he's kind of rapes that girl?
Earthquake.
Great.
That's a good one. He
yeah.
rapes... what's her name? From...
Pam Grier?
Nope.
Let's have a contest.
Oh,
our listeners.
Who got raped in Earthquake?
Send us a fucking letter and we will send you what? We'll send you one of each of the movies that we talked about today.
There
one,
you
of,
go.
One of the new releases. How's that?
Who did...
but Doug is not
Doug,
allowed.
Doug, you're disqualified.
See, it's like,
sorry.
It's kind of hard to have a contest like that, though. One. Can't somebody just Google it? And
yeah.
Yeah, but
who's going to...
It's all about getting people to write to find out who the fuck is listening.
Listen, the first person that I hear from at customer service at alternativecinema.com that knows who Marjo Gortner raped in the film Earthquake.
That's a good
is
question.
Gonna get, that is. Who are going to get? I'm going to send you Women in Prison triple feature.
Yeah.
Deep Throat 2.
Oh.
That's all I have in stock right now. Okay. That's what you get.
So that's pretty good.
Again, I'm going to make a note here, too.
Okay.
You get these two free DVDs. It's pretty good. I can't send you Pro Bowl cheerleaders. It's just too fucking filthy. No, really, I just can't just randomly mail out like such filth.
Yeah. Well, if they ask for it, they can have
it. I need
it.
Like some proof of ID.
Oh, really?
You know, I mean, this is
it's
stuff.
It's hardcore shit. It's hairy people being filthy.
You know, it's not Super Bowl Sunday. It's Super Bowl come day.
That's right. These people have dirty feet.
Yes. If it's a 1970s and it's a hardcore movie,
and their feet are in the air, they have dirty feet.
The women have dirty feet. And Carter Stevens himself, the producer director of punk rock and Pleasure Palace.
Right.
I mean, he said he lived in the city. He had a loft on 28th or 25th Street. And he made hardcore films in the 70s. And he said it was the hippie generation.
Yeah.
You needed an actor. You got in your car. You went down to Washington Square Park. You found some women and you said, hey, you know, yada yada, we're paying $50, we're shooting this film. They got in the car, they went and shot the movie.
That's crazy.
Crazy? Well, not crazy, because since it was the age of Aquarius,
well, I'm just saying, people wore sandals.
No, that's
now.
How we cast our movies.
Really?
Is that right?
Yeah, but you're not having people have sex, though. Really?
Maybe.
Call me.
So, Shockfest.
Yes. What were we talking about?
We're talking about Shockfest and this awesome project. So the DVD Shockfest, which is based on the book, is you have a DVD with faux trailers in the style. Actually, they're the trailers of the movies that are in the book.
Now, are the posters in the DVDs or no?
Well, the artwork of the like, for example, here's the list. Okay. Let me read the list of what's going on with Shockfest. Who's contributing? We got Dark Knight of the Demon House, Richard Griffin. That's the filmmaker making the movie, the trailer.
Yeah.
Ghost of the Raven, Chris LaMartina.
Yay.
I feel like it's like the awards ceremony. And the names
I'm
are...
I'm going to be in Chris's movie next month.
Oh, really?
Just a little...
A feature?
Plug. Yeah, a feature.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. Okay. Tool Shed of the Living Dead, Chris LaMartina. Wow, he got two trailers in here.
One's a commercial, one's a trailer.
Okay. Dead Bugs on the Carpet 2. Dead Bugs on the Carpet 2, Dave Hartman. Okay, very good. Wasp Monster, Dave Hartman. Hey, he's got two as well. Dead Bugs on the Carpet 1, Dave Nearborn. Nope, Dave Nearborn. Now, Dave Nearborn was here yesterday. He's in the Dog Eats Dog, the band.
Really?
Yeah. He came and visited the studio.
Great.
He came by.
He seems so thrilled with everything.
I've never heard of him. I'm sorry.
And it's like,
are they good?
Paige Davis introduced me. She's like, oh, this is Dave. He's doing, you know, Dead Bugs on the Carpet. He's like, yeah. I sent you guys like a short film years ago. I'm like, I'm shaking his hand. I'm thinking, oh, shit. Like, you know.
What was it?
I don't know.
Oh.
And I'm shaking his hand. And when he says years ago, he probably means like the 90s.
Oh, boy.
He's like, yeah. You know, we talked a bit. I don't remember him at all.
Oh,
he talked a bit, and then I never heard from you.
So unlike you.
Dave. All right, thanks.
So how you been?
I'm like, well, then I turned it around into, you know, the good, which is, I'm like, well, it's great. We're finally doing something together. Because he is. Now he made a trailer for Shockfest. You know? Okay.
It's a beautiful story. Yeah.
Attack of the Sadistic Killer. It says here, this is a retitle of The Wrong Idea. And that's by Nicanor Loretti.
Is that one person or two?
That's one person. Nicanor. Nicanor Loretti. Thinking Man's Gun. German Val. Now, is that person's name?
Ah.
A Thinking Man's Gun by German Val. It says technically a 10-minute short. Really?
Mm.
Tentacles in a Twisted Death Dream.
That's a good title.
Made by question mark.
I'm going to write an instrumental with that title.
Really?
Yeah, that's a beautiful, like, prog rock title.
Your next album, your Pink Delicates album, should be Tentacles in a Twisted Death Dream. And that shot, that still picture I have of your mom, totally naked.
Which one?
The Ten Cocks.
Oh.
That should be the fucking cover.
All right, great. I'll get her to autograph it for you. She'll come by on Super Bowl come day. Four times. See how many more times we can actually get that in.
Devil Sister, directed by Paige Davis.
Yay. Ooh,
yeah. I'm in that.
You are. Yeah.
You're a priest, right?
Yep.
I believed you borrowed my priest outfit.
Oh, that was yours?
That was mine, yeah.
Smelled lovely.
Thank you.
Was he it uses lovely? It on Sundays.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Cum days.
On my cum days. Sundays are my cum days.
Girl Killer by Michael Gingold.
Yay, Michael.
Where do I know that
We
name
just
from?
Saw that. Michael trailer.
I did see that trailer.
Michael Gingold is the...
He's the editor of Fangoria.
Oh. Yeah, managing editor of Fangoria magazine. Oh, okay. Mike Gingold.
Long. I met him on Playmate of the Apes, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, longtime friend.
Yes.
I know Michael, like, forever.
My shoulder's in that. I almost forgot because I...
Really?
Because they go through, like... Never mind. My shoulder is in that movie, yes. And I got to
Your
be in
shoulder?
A scene. Yeah, yeah. My shoulder.
You
like,
weren't in that film at all?
From the back, you know. It's like this one.
That shoulder?
Uh-huh. And we shot it at Chiller. And I got to be in a scene with Ian McCullough from Fulci Zombie.
Oh, nice. Sounds like a nice guy.
And he described me to Mike later as charming. And I was like, He obviously didn't get to be in the room with me long enough.
Oh, why? What would he have said?
I don't know. He's like he's a very proper British actor.
Joe
you know?
Franklin.
Charming young lady.
I can barely formulate a sentence without the word fuck.
He's the British Joe Franklin?
She needs a bit polish, but she's charming.
Yeah.
Who, what?
No, I'm not
the
even
The British like, Joe Franklin.
Oh, and the knife that he used in the scene was Joey Smacks, too. He
A real knife?
Of course.
Yeah. Joey does not travel with fake notes.
You know what? I'm not even going to go there about Joe Franklin because I'm only going to wind up cutting it out because I'm going to be editing this damn thing and be like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to tarnish Joe Franklin.
Oh, poor Joe. He probably can't even hear anymore. Now the main feature.
Yes, now the main feature. We're going to talk to our guests, and it's really delightful to have you guys here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
we are very
great.
Excited.
Great.
So Chainsaw Kiss, the group, not a rock group.
No.
A filmmaking group.
Guerrilla filmmaking
collective.
Group. Yeah. A nice little collective.
And it's Victor Bonacore. That's your name.
Yep.
You New Jersey resident?
Now, yes. I live in New Jersey now.
Were you a New Yorker?
From New York, yes.
Are you from, like, Brooklyn?
Queens, then Long Island.
Long Island.
That's where I spent most of my life.
Staten Island.
Victor, you came up with the idea. You kind of started the group, Chainsaw Kiss.
Yeah.
Is this a recent thing?
No, I've had it for a while, but it was just kind of me for a while.
Right.
Linnea Quigley, we kind of did this, and Ruby, we did this first film was like called Pretty. It was a short film I did, starring Linnea and Ruby. Period in it, and then after that, after I moved in with Ruby and Joey Smack, we kind of started it up full force.
So you guys became like a super group. You all moved in together and kind of all came together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So are you familiar with like the Joey Smack and the Ruby LaRocca, like the Factory 2000 stuff and
very,
all that stuff?
Yeah.
So you're familiar with all that stuff?
Yeah, totally.
Wow. So it's like almost like a second coming?
We're kind of doing our own thing.
Okay.
I mean, obviously.
A lot of the same people, but it's definitely different than like
different
Factory.
Vibes. Yeah. Sort of like different take on what you're doing.
Well, that, I mean, Bill had a very distinct style.
Yes.
Not, you know, the type of movies
Bill
he made.
Bill Hellfire.
Yeah.
Just the way that he wanted people to dress in them or the sets and things like that. So we're not at all trying to emulate that style. That's his thing. We have, you know, our own thing. But I have a very, huge soft spot. I'm very sentimental about those days and those movies.
Oh, sure. I mean, the subject matter of the films that you guys are doing, is it unlike?
I think it's way different.
They're kind of all over the place, you know? And it, depending on who's making it, because, you know, Victor directs. I just directed at first, and then Joe has directed movies, but, you know, everybody has their own voice.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever wrote it and directs it really gets to... stay true to their vision, and then we all just kind of help on the project.
So you guys just jump in. This is Victor's film.
Yeah.
Like if someone writes something, you know, it's like... And we also have two other pretty main members. This guy, Brandon, who kind of lives on our couch right now. He's really cool and talented. And then our friend Screamer Claus, who's like a crazy what do they call it, speedcore musician?
Speed
it's like
core.
Crazy
Gabba.
Horror techno. And he makes
sing
like really
this?
Weird 3D. It's not even really
it's not singing.
Singing.
Yeah, he DJs.
Yeah.
But it's someone described it the other day as brutal. That's the best way I can describe his music. But he's a genius. He is an editor. He graphic designs, cool. Like he makes music.
He's a brand new addition to your collective.
He's at your place now too?
What?
Every weekend. He's from the Poconos, but he does come pretty much every weekend.
Yeah. We'll do whatever it takes to get a project done kind of feeling, you know, and we all work for free and then we all work on each other's movies. We've made music video or a music video. We have more music videos we're going to make that are already scripted. Like
we shoot on film mostly, 16 millimeter.
Right.
I mean,
good.
Ruby's film is shot on digital, 24p.
24p, yeah.
But it looks cool, and we shoot a lot of the stuff on 16, so it's...
What kind of camera do you use?
An Arri.
Oh, I was on IMDb yesterday looking at my profile, and I got really excited because, you know, I have a bunch of new credits, but one of them is camera department, and it says assistant camera, because actually Joe has taught me how to be his assistant in the camera department and do, like, the pull focus for him and stuff. It's fun. Nice. I like it. Like, you know, we all kind of do a lot of different roles on our shoots, but...
See, now that is a true collective, if you're acting and directing and pulling focus and...
I mean, doing Joe, set design. Yeah. I have a set design credit, too.
And Joey Smack is a mad genius.
Yeah, insane.
He's insane, and he's fucking crazy,
and he uses
Joe,
it
but
well.
When he is, like, he's got one of the best work ethics I've ever seen. I mean, he can take apart a 60mm camera, load it in 2 seconds, and he's just a genius like that, and... Knows really how to frame a shot. And we just have such a good chemistry, you know, while working together.
That's great. Well, good for you guys.
And awesome getting hooked into that, like, the Shock Festival thing.
Great.
It was cool to be a part of that, too.
It says here I have a copy of an article that was on Fangoria.com. Shortcuts number 1, Chainsaw Kiss. It mentions some of your films, Pretty, Eat Me, music video for Johnny Lee Jordan's The Wiggly. Mentioned you recently kind of got your group together, Chainsaw Kiss. Some of your influences, Godfather, Psycho, Clockwork Orange.
John Waters, we both have.
Yeah, those are the popular ones.
Yeah.
I'd say John Waters, yeah.
So it says here significant that you really dig John Waters.
Yeah.
So would you say that John Waters has the most influence on you to be a filmmaker?
Yeah, just his, just the way he did it. I think someone like Kubrick is, you know, completely knew what filmmaking was, but someone like John Waters, just the way he did things, it was just like anarchy filmmaking. They didn't get permits, they were all smoking weed
approach.
And were like living in a trailer and like, let's go make a movie, and just that mentality of a real guerrilla.
Even though this is our July podcast, it is being posted early, and we are promoting the event Saturday, June 27th at the Anthology Film Archives. That's on 2nd Ave and 2nd Street in New York City. And that is a Chainsaw Kiss night where you're screening movies and you have a few bands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hosted by Linnea Quigley.
Correct, yeah.
We all know. Do you know who Linnea Quigley is?
Yeah, sure.
What, name one movie.
She does the Maytag commercials, right?
The Maytag.
No, she was in Night of the Living Dead.
Return of the Living Dead.
Return to the...
What's that J.R. Bookwalter movie?
That's called...
Robot Ninja.
Yes.
What's the name of that J.R. Bookwalter
movie? Thank you, John.
Victor actually knows a lot of really interesting facts about Linnea Quigley that I never knew. Hit it, Victor. No, like the Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh, she's in the Guinness Book of Records. Like longest on-screen scream.
Yeah?
Stuff like that.
Isn't that where we first met her at Chiller as a scream queen?
Oh, yeah.
Her and Debbie Rochon.
No. She was there with...
Brink Stevens. Michelle Bauer.
Oh. You liked Michelle Bauer.
Yeah, I liked Michelle Bauer.
Yeah.
She's kind of out of the business now.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, she's not really doing it.
Yeah, I liked Michelle Bauer.
She's cool. Let her get away.
Linnea Quigley. So you know, you know a lot about her career.
Mm-hmm.
And as a filmmaker, you cast her.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew that she was in Robot Ninja.
Yeah, I knew.
You just knew that.
Yeah, something you just know.
Yeah. Have you seen Robot Ninja?
Yeah, I own a VHS of it.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
You know, that's that and Ghoul School. That was the whole David Dakota cinema home video. When we were shooting on 16mm. It was really... I lived it. I didn't live Robot Ninja, but I lived the Ghoul School. So did John.
Yeah.
Yes. 20 days of pure hell.
Yep.
Slept...
Cold pizzas, headaches...
But it's all worth it.
Near-death experiences. Right? It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's something about shooting on film that just, it's a little more, I don't know, it just feels a little more rewarding, the whole process.
So, you and your group prefer and usually shoot on film as opposed to shooting on video.
Yeah, I mean, we'll shoot on video when we can, we're a little more broke, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's just cheaper digital, and but I think when we can and it's all really planned out, you know, we'll do it on film. It's just, I'll save up as much money as I can, buy a bunch of film reels, and
I think it's important for people to know that we do this all out of our own pockets, like out of our pockets.
You're not bankrolled.
We're not bankrolled. We do not have any backers. We don't try to get backers. Either, you know, we're not trying to make money.
This is for the love.
The reason I want people to know that is because you can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is something that I learned from other people. So I think it's important for other people to know that you can make movies. You do not need a budget. You do not need to pay for a location. You do not. You know, you don't need anything but a camera and someone who's willing to help
dedicated
you.
Dedicated people. Just people want to do it.
You don't need anything but your shit together.
Yeah.
But you are
that's
fun.
Free.
But you are funding the films out of your own pocket.
Yeah, everything is out of our own pocket. Right. Yeah. I mean, I took out a credit card to pay for one movie.
Depending, you know, if we shoot on film, it's just we buy film and we get everyone pizza at the end of the day. Yeah. Maybe some beer.
Bagels in the morning. I mean,
really, there wouldn't be any movies made if there was no pizza.
So you're not like trust.
No,
you're
pizza's like, definitely.
You're not like a trust fund kid.
No.
No. Not at all.
Yeah. No, we all have dumb day jobs or we're unemployed and collecting unemployment.
Yeah.
do you feel that it's giving you an edge by shooting film? And when I say that, I mean today everything is digital. Everything is digital. It's just digital world and everyone has given up on shooting film. For me, I love analog. It's different. Do you feel that shooting on film is giving you guys a bit of an edge because it's different?
I'd say yeah. I mean, that's not why we do it, but I think it does give us a little bit of like a, you know, it's different. It is different, especially for younger filmmakers to be shooting on, you know, outside of college to be shooting on film. It's more expensive and people.
We're just more. It really is a baby when you shoot on film. Like we're just so much more careful. Like, you know, with every shot, it has to be perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, you know, like you take your time. Mm-hmm. You really take your time.
And
so I
think
a lot of things that when people shoot on digital, and trust me, I've had people say this to me because I shot my movie on digital. Like, you don't have to call cut, just keep rolling. Cause it's digital, you can keep rolling. But I think that's what like where laziness comes in, you know, because then you still have to go through that footage. And just because you can shoot more doesn't mean you should.
Right.
So I think film like just makes you a little more choosy.
A little more,
It gets you on your game a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you have
there's a lot more writing on it. So you're more zoned in.
You can't see it right away. You know, the whole thing of dropping it off at, you know, the film developing place and getting it transferred and then going to pick it up. I mean, my film sat there for 4 or 5 months at a time because I just don't have the money to pay for the transfer. I go pick it up, and you still don't even know. Mm-hmm. Did I just waste all this time and money? You go pick it up, and when you see it done, you're like, oh, this is all fucking worth it.
I would bet that because they shoot on film, that even when they shoot on video, I bet you shoot it like a film. When I say that, I mean...
Economically.
No. I mean from a lighting perspective. The biggest problem I have with young filmmakers is that they don't know what they're doing because the digital technology is so forgiving that you could shoot a scene really without lighting it and get an acceptable enough image that's it, you're done.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're shooting film, you actually have to think about your lighting setup, seriously think about it, and execute that. And it trains you in a way that can't be, in my opinion, it trains you in a way that you can't be trained if you're just shooting on video, especially today's video.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree.
I definitely agree with that.
If you have a mindset about how you want to make a film, whether you're shooting on film or digital, but, you know, shooting on film, you get that. Mm-hmm. You have to light it right. And then, I don't know, people say it all the time now is, we'll fix it in post. Well, we can change it in post.
That's the worst fucking excuse.
Like,
exactly.
I hate that. Like, oh, the lighting's not good. We'll fix it in post. It's like, then it's not as...
It means I know nothing.
Yeah.
I'm really hard on, it's like, look, fix it in post. If it's not, if you're not putting it down properly, you can't fix it in post.
Exactly, to me, that's laziness.
When MTV started to get really big, I was doing a shoot for, as a freelancer for a producer who was younger than me, much younger than me. And I was talking to her about lighting. I'm like, you want to do this? You want me to do that? I'll take a couple minutes, set up a backlight. And she's like, doesn't matter. We're just going to beat it up in post. We're going to beat it up in post. I was gonna beat her up right there. So that was like the first time when I really totally
she
realized
should die.
She should die.
Her womb should be barren.
It should be filled with film.
Just film stock everywhere.
Piranhas should grow out of her pussy. That video. Bitch. Yeah. I'm spitting. I'm so angry.
I only punched one person this week.
Yeah, the John.
But my dad fucking deserved it. On me.
You channeled it differently. I used to see you on the set getting angry too, sure.
Yeah, but, you did.
Oh, me?
Oh, John, yeah, my God.
Well, go ahead, tell me why.
I can't, you know, name names.
See?
I can't even name movies.
You can't even remember what I did. What?
You were always
me getting pissed?
Yeah.
When the cheese in the sandwich wasn't Munster.
That time I freaked. I wasn't like, you motherfucker!
You were fucking pissed.
Filmmaking is passion. It really is. Passion. It's passion. The point is this.
Yeah.
You guys are Chainsaw Kiss. You guys are not commercial in nature. You're making movies out of your own pocket for the love of making movies. It's about the art. It's about getting them screened. It's about people seeing your movies.
I made a movie. I wrote and made a movie, and it's going to be on a big screen, and people are going to see it. Like, that's insane to me. Like, it's awesome. And then, like, every day, like, it's better. Because then on Friday, like, I had not one but two posts on Fangoria about stuff that I was doing right underneath each other. I was like, this is the greatest day of my life. And I think on the 27th, I'm probably just going to have, like, I'm going to spontaneously combust or something. I'm going to explode. I'm just going to be a mess. I'm going
to
be so happy.
June 27th, see Ruby LaRocca explode.
Come down and see it live.
Lots of, it's not a cum day, but it's Saturn cum.
Maybe.
It's Saturday.
Oh, it'll be a splatter day.
A splatter day.
So this is...
Well, how many movies are there going to be screening?
Seven short films.
Do you know which films?
Yes.
Tainted Milk, which is a cartoon by Screamer Claws.
Which we all do voices for.
And if everyone if everyone makes it through the screening of that to see the other movies...
Yeah.
That's first? That's,
yeah, we're going to start off with a cartoon because we figure
that sets the tone.
But it's, it's a little...
13. I was disturbed by this cartoon.
Oh, but it's good. It's really good.
Do one of the voices.
They're all disturbing, but they all have heart, I think. You know, they're not just gratuitous, which isn't a bad thing, but
Joe does
bad.
One of the voices as well.
Joey Smacks, two of his films are playing. They've never been screened. One's called Inside the Next Door Neighbors, which is a great film. Johnny Link is in that one.
Oh, nice.
Ruby, great cast, great people in that. Then Little Beauties.
Little Beauties.
And then your film.
Yes, which is called Belated by Valentine's Lover, a.k.a. everyone calls it Bloodworm because it's just easier because there's worms in it.
Still a good album.
Lots of worms.
What was it? Belated by what?
Belated by Valentine's Lover.
Oh. That's a good album title.
And then
I like Bloodworm better, though.
Yeah, I do, too, actually. I have to admit.
It gives away too much. The worms are supposed to be
short and sweet.
Ixnay on the erm ways.
No, I mean, you find out pretty fast. Yeah. I don't know.
Go with your heart.
Go with your blood worm heart.
Go with your worm. The Wiggly, the music Wiggly. Video.
Okay.
Which is a music video shot on 16.
Nice.
Which is a lot of fun. And then the world premiere of Ice Cream Sundae, which is the titles change a bunch of times. And the Fangoria article was called 11, but it's actually the heaviest film I've ever done or worked on. And it's like a weird drama. Definitely a dark, dark drama about the Catholic Church and the child molestation.
Oh, dear.
Cases, in the church. And it's pretty heavy. It's, you know, I grew up Catholic, Italian Catholic, and that's where my anger is. So that's what I knew best and religion. And that's it.
Those are the films?
And then I think
we have three musical performances.
Yeah.
Johnny Lee Jordan, who we
acoustic
did the music.
Acts,
yeah. We did the music video for. Our good friend Mike Hunchback, who I used music, some of his music for my movie. And Lady S, who
did a song for Ice Cream Sunday. Yeah. She used to be in, around the Gigi Allen days. There was in a band called Thrust that used to open up for Gigi all the time. She's toned it down a little bit.
I was going to say, Gigi Allen's pretty...
Yeah, it's not
she's
like
not
that at
shit
all.
Or anything.
No, yeah, oh, I'm not going.
And this is all hosted by Linnea Quigley.
Yeah, yeah.
So Linnea Quigley's like coming in and going to
be. We should be there hanging out. It's going to be real cat, you know.
I mean, it's free. Did we mention
completely
that? It's completely free.
Oh,
free.
Completely
very important.
And we could have charged. We just so people know, we could have charged as much as we wanted, but no one knows who we are, you know, yet.
And we just want people to come. It holds like 170 people, I think, and I want the place to be packed. So we were
free
to get in.
That's a dream of mine, is to have a New York City indie theater sold out, you know, sold out, but just like packed. And the Lower East Side, you don't get better than that. You know?
I had no idea it was free.
Yes. Yeah,
completely.
So once again, this is on the 27th of June. It's a free night hosted by Linnea Quigley. And Chainsaw Kiss is going to be there, screening films with musical acts. Wow. Are there any other screenings in July or August? Anything else coming up?
Film festivals. I just found out that Ice Cream Sunday was just accepted to Fantasia Film Festival.
Film Festival.
Huge festival in Montreal, so that's pretty big. That's pretty big news.
Fantasia Film Festival.
And we're just going to start submitting to lots of festivals. The Wiggly's playing about 8 festivals all over the United States right now. Just weird music festivals and...
Tell us about the Fantasia Festival. When is it? Fantasia Film Festival.
That is in July, but there's no, I don't know the exact schedule
July
yet.
This year?
Yeah, July into August. Fantasia is the biggest genre festival in North America. Mm-hmm. It's a premiere festival. I went last year with Media Blasters for a couple of premieres, and it's insane. It's like the streets of Montreal is this festival. It's like, you know, you see, I remember walking down the street and seeing Frank Henelotter, director of Basket Case, just kind of walk past me, you know, there with his movie Bad Biology, just a new film. And like, just, it's kind of surreal.
Everyone's there for the festival.
They're there for the festival because this is premieres. They only take premieres, you know, so they'll do world premiere or Canadian premiere at the very least. So you have all the actors flying out, the directors, and it's just a real cool, you know.
Special.
It is special. Everyone goes to, you know, hangs out, goes to bars. And I think Miss Paige Davis saw me get a little drunk and naked at a bar in Montreal last year. Near naked.
Knockered
very
naked.
Near naked. Very near naked to a great karaoke song. So.
Oh, well.
I'm going to try to repeat that this year. But
which song?
Take Another Little Piece of My Heart.
That's a good song to get knockered and naked to.
He always gets naked to that song.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen it on several occasions.
So is the whole group going?
Yeah. When we find out the date, we're going
to... You're going to get naked
get a big... naked in the streets of Montreal.
That would be great.
But that would be like every day of my life, so I've got to do something different.
We're going to be bringing back Ruby to the show.
Yes.
To really just talk about seduction cinema.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And... the class of 2002, as it's commonly referred to
as. Is it really?
Yeah, well, there was a re-release this year of Mistress Frankenstein, Girl Explores Girl, and Erotic Ghost.
Oh, my goodness.
These are the films that were produced like immediately before Gladiator Eroticus.
Two of my friends who make movies, you know, recent friends, Andrew Scherer and Monica Puller, told me that the reason that they started making movies, oh, you know them. The reason they started making movies is they saw Mistress Frankenstein and wanted to. They were like, we could do this. And I thought that was a really cool story. I mean, they don't make, you know, not like the same exact type of movies, but they were like, we should do this. These are
these
funny.
These dicks can make
They're
it.
Fun. Yeah,
yeah, like they saw Darien just being, you know,
well,
being
Mistress
goofy.
Mistress Frankenstein's a very
good one. That's
a good one.
It's definitely funny.
You seen that one?
Yeah, it's a good one. It's funny. Yeah.
I always say, like, well, I have an interview going up on Pretty Scary tomorrow, and Andrew did it. So he was, like, asking me about seduction movies. And I was like, we wore, like, cheesy, like, party store costumes and wielded, like, plastic weapons. And we're out in a field in the summer, like,
ridiculous.
Fighting. Like, it was fun, and they're supposed to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Most people who review those movies seriously just don't get it.
They just don't.
It amazes
or
me.
People just...
It amazes me.
You know, people are offended by it because of the overtly sexual content or nudity or, you know, whatever. Or they don't understand that.
I think my favorite thing is when we go to, like, a friend's party or we'll go to my family member's party and, you know, wherever we're at and someone comes up to Ruby and's like, were you in Playmate of the Apes?
I mean, it happens all the time. Every party I've like ever been to, if you look through their DVD collection, there's always at least one.
That's hilarious.
Not necessarily that I'm in, but there's always at least one seduction title.
Yep.
Always.
It's true. This is very true. I mean, we were in the Poconos last summer, and some girl came up to me. Were you in, what was it? It wasn't Playmate. It was the other one.
Lord of the G-Strings.
You were in Lord of the G-Strings. Yeah. And then we were at a barbecue a couple weeks ago, and was it Lustful Addiction was there? Like something.
He had something right on the TV.
Savoir
faire is everywhere.
I think she's getting more recognition on the street than you are, John.
Oh, absolutely.
John walks into his pet store, right? And?
Pet store. Oh, that guy. Yeah, he stays up late night.
John was in Kinky Kong.
Oh.
So yeah. You play the Jack Black role?
The Jack.
Yeah, Victor's barber has a picture of me up in his...
Yeah.
Too,
yeah.
Oh, for real?
Because, and I get free haircuts now because...
Awesome.
He's just told me I let him borrow a
where's
pretty...
Your, where's the barber?
Long Island.
Oh, fuck. I thought it was...
All the way in Rancancama. But he was a big fan. I let him borrow my movie Pretty, and I didn't know that he knew who, you know, Ruby was, and he's like, oh, I love, you know, Ruby, and so for Christmas, I brought him home an autograph.
Wow.
That she gave, and you're not paying for haircuts anymore. And,
well, John, it's nice to know that something we touched, someone else sees. And
someone at least is getting free haircuts.
Right.
Yeah, you know, someone else sees, and maybe it's influencing someone else to go out and create art. And my only hope in life
and that's
is
the
that
best,
it's better.
Honestly.
Anyone that can touch our movies in some way, shape, or form, and if it could be compelling enough to make them make their own art, and they are successful with that. Or they do something that is much bigger in a bigger scheme of things than we ever did.
They become a Quentin Tarantino off of it.
I guess.
Sort of speak.
And that's pretty cool. I mean, same thing with Andrew Shearer. Wow, you know, Andrew's making movies now.
That is, yeah.
And that's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a great time.
Yes.
Nice talking to you guys. Mm. John, nice to see you.
Yes, you too, Mike.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, definitely
really?
Smell
it. What is it, my feet, my breath, or the garlic?
It's the combination.
Nice to meet you, Victor, even though I did meet you on a bus once.
I did meet you on the bus. Can I say what you said to me?
Yes, I don't remember.
The first thing Mike Russell ever said to me, I took a bus home with Bill Hellfire, and we got on the bus, and I met Mike, and he says, "Hi, Victor, nice to meet you. Do you want to make dirty movies?"
Nice.
And I was like, yeah, I do.
Well, you know, if I was in the city, that means I was in the fourth floor of the Film Center building in a closet working all day on stacks and stacks of 16mm films from the 70s.
I remember you talking about
so
that.
So I spent a whole day like looking at on a little film viewer this big. Oh, my God, just like porn reel after porn reel. So, of course... By the time I had got the bus, which is like 7 p.m., and I just so happened to run into Bill, and you were with Bill, Bill Hellfire. I mean, what else am I going to say?
Yeah, you're still stuck in that little viewfinder.
Kid, you want to make a porno with me? It's pretty fucking funny.
Satan bless you.
So,
can I say one thing before we go?
Yeah.
Everybody buy Faces of Schlock.
Oh, Faces of Schlock.
Please support it because Charles Zimmerman is the best producer ever, and Henrik, that guy's okay too. Ha ha ha! Just kidding, Henry.
That's awesome. Faces of Schlock. I'm gonna do some research and then put some plugs here.
It's awesome. A lot of really talented filmmakers, like young, ambitious filmmakers, all together on one DVD. Believe it or not.
Do they want to make porn?
Who doesn't?
Yeah. We're gonna do a porno one day. The Bible.
XXX.
That's
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
With like really elaborate sets and costumes. Oh, and stuff.
The Garden of Eden, like you've never seen it before.
Yeah. Hey, Garden of Eden.
So we're going to see everyone Saturday, June 27th.
Please come down.
That's a Saturday. Great. I actually may be able to make it.
Awesome.
And if not, we'll see everyone at the Fantasia Festival. Is that it?
Yep. Fantasia.
Fantasia Festival in Canada. You need a passport now to get over there.
Well, congratulations, and we wish you much success.
Thanks for having us on. This is a lot.
Yeah. Hearing more Thank about you. You as the years roll by.
As the years roll by.
We sing a song
as
now.
As I become purple and decrepit. I want stories to reach my chair.
When she wakes up in the morning, she'll make it hard for you with just one smile. Yeah.
Sheila